Welcome to Mulder Was Right. My name is Curtis, and we discuss conspiracy theories and alternative facts. I'm here with
Marina
and
Brandon,
and we have a very special episode today because Marina's going to be presenting.
Yes.
She's going to be doing most of the talking.
Correct. A lot of talking.
Begin doing most of the talking now.
All right. Thank you for the introduction, Curtis. So I'm very excited for today's episode because it is one of my favorite topics, and I finally got to sit down and really pay attention to it and learn about it. So guys, let me ask you, if I told you that I was nervous to do today's episode because currently Mercury is in retrograde, occurring in Leo, would you know what I am saying?
I really, 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 really would not super understand that, no.
No. I mean, like, I can, like, just do some, like, etymological garbage to, like, somewhat understand,
like,
what you're saying.
Retro.
Yeah, like, backwards.
Great.
Right.
Backwards school.
Unlearning? Is that, like, unlearning?
Mercury is unlearning right now, and that's a badness for Marina.
That's badness for Marina. Presumably for others also?
Definitely.
I don't know that anyone's like Marina.
That's true. Marina's one of a kind.
Everyone is one of a kind, as we will see when we examine our charts. None are alike.
Charts?
Charts. But we are not there yet.
So,
all right.
So what are we talking about then, Marina?
So let me ask you.
Oh, more questions.
More questions. There's going to be a lot of questions. Actually, there's not. There's going to be a lot of me telling you facts. Feel free to interject at any point. Otherwise, it's just going to be me reading off an encyclopedia because that is what I've compiled.
Alternative facts?
Definitely alternative facts.
Very well. Great.
So let me ask you. Okay. What do you know about astrology?
Well, Brandon motioned for me to talk while I was taking a drink, so I'm not prepared to say anything, but I'm here speaking now, and I know, like, you know, so I probably know less about astrology than the average person does.
You think so?
I think probably, yeah.
Okay.
I know that there are 12 signs, and they are assigned to you based on your birth.
Yeah.
Day, year, part. And that they a certain sign gives you certain personality traits. And now Brandon is talking.
I have like a vague notion also that you're born during a certain time frame, and a lot of that time frame is feeds into who you are as a person, and it can have something to do with the positions of the planets at the time that you're born, which is a wild concept, and I don't know exactly what that means or how anyone has any conception of that anyway. All I really know is that sometimes I read my horoscope and those of my friends, and sometimes they really match. And so I have some belief in it, perhaps.
Y'all are doing great so far.
Great. Wow.
And
we're
by
not
the
unlearning
end,
at all, Chris.
No. Everyone's doing really, really fantastic. And so by the end of this episode, the goal is that we will all understand at least a little bit more. We're going to be at least a little bit more clear.
Wait, the goal of this episode is to actually learn something.
Yes.
Like,
so
to actually make a progress forward in our knowledge.
You're going to understand when I say wild phrases like Mercury is in retrograde occurring in Leo, what that fucking means and why I'm nervous.
Okay.
And just a broader sense of what people are talking about when they say very vague things like that. So the romantic definition of astrology that I was able to find and I really liked was, astrology in its broadest sense is to search for meaning in the sky. Now, what that actually means is that astrology is the study of movements and relative positions of celestial objects as a means for divining information about human affairs and terrestrial events. And so astrology can be broken down into three general categories. There is mundane astrology. This is
used. That sounds really boring.
Yeah.
Hey, mundanity can be good.
Mundanity is, like, I think part of the definition of mundanity is, like, boring. in every
It
day.
Does sound really boring.
Yeah.
It's actually the opposite of boring. So I'm not sure what the root of this word is. Where, okay. Why? I don't know why it's being used this way.
Sometimes people use words wrong.
This is...
Or to poetic effect.
Or yes. Wrong.
Mundane astrology examines world events and makes predictions about national affairs, wars, and economics.
Okay, so that's just like... Just like stuff that's going to happen.
Right, in the world around right. us. When the election was happening, there was quite a few astrology people. I forgot the word.
That's okay.
Astrologers?
Yeah, I believe so.
Maybe. That doesn't... Hey,
that sound wrong?
Mercury...
She's the expert here.
I am certainly not an expert. Mercury's in retrograde.
Just weird suggestion.
I'm just
think
waiting
it's astrologer.
It is. just but, trying to give it to her.
But there are a lot of predictions going around about the outcome of the election based off of the signs of those that were running.
So what you're saying is we should have listened.
Maybe.
I remember, like, back when Trump was, like, not the Republican nominee yet, like, everything was still in its early stages, there was, like, this professor, and he predicted that Trump was going to win, and he has correctly predicted, like, the last, like, 30 years of presidential elections, like, really early on, just mm-hmm. based on some
oh, yes,
shit
I remember this
he had
guy
come
also.
Up with.
Yes, 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 yes.
And he back then was like, Trump's going to win, and I was like, oh man, I don't like that he said that. And then, like, it was an emotional roller coaster.
It was,
and I'm still very disappointed in reality. So oh, yes. That's sort of just a tangent, not really related whatsoever. But that's just my emotions.
I think that's what you do on this show.
That's just my this show is just my emotions.
Just tangents full of emotions.
Sometimes I just talk about my mother. Sometimes
really?
I cry for 30 minutes.
You talk about your mother? Oh, wow.
No, okay. I forget that you two haven't been here very long. So no, that's not really what I do.
This bunker is still very fresh to me, yes.
It's a fresh bunker for Brandon. Anyway, so there were some mundane astrologers making predictions about the presidential election. A lot
right,
flying around.
Right. So anytime it's concerned with an overall worldview rather than an individual or other events, it's mundane astrology. It's
so
applying
like,
to
like
something
big
larger
events.
Than ourselves.
Okay, like war,
weather
presidential
patterns,
elections, and,
war,
okay, yeah.
economics, politics, all of that.
I see. I understand
right.
the distinction now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then we have, I'm actually not sure how to say this. We're just going to go for it.
Interiority?
Interobang.
A great,
It is really a strange word. Interrogatory?
Let's say yes. Yes. We're going to say yes and move on.
Interrogatory?
It's definitely interrogatory. It's like
Interrogatory.
I'm so glad I'm not the only one struggling with this. I was so
it's a weird
it was
word.
Simple.
It's like interrogation
right.
with Tory on it.
Right. I yeah. want to say interrogation, but that is not how that word ends.
Yeah.
So that one, that can be further subdivided. But generally it refers to astrology that seeks to make specific predictions or analyses about the subject's objectives or events within the subject's life.
So this is like a given individual's like predictions.
Correct. And this is events. It's not personality. So the difference is that instead of saying you're really weepy because you're a Cancer, it's saying, hey, maybe don't go into any big buildings on the 6th of March because it's going to collapse on you.
Wow.
Where do I get one of these astrologers?
You are predisposed to make big buildings fall on you.
Right.
Yeah.
Possibly. If the stars were in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So this is really like sort of like the meat and potatoes for like an everyday person is like this is what you'd be really interested in. Is like where am I gonna meet my love of the
Certainly.
Love of my life? Like
yes.
you know
yes.
what shirt should I wear? Yeah.
Exactly. Go play the lotto today, avoid this thing today, you know, bet on red. all that stuff. Yeah, that's what that is. And then we have natal astrology. This is what most people think of when they think of astrology, which is the pattern that seeks to make predictions and analyses. Yes, based on the date of a person's birth. So what colors your personality, essentially.
Right, so like Scorpio has these traits, Gemini has these traits.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. All right, and so now we're going to go into a little bit of the history of astrology.
Okay.
So astrology has roots in the calendar systems used to predict seasonal shifts and to interpret celestial cycles as signs of divine communications.
Mm-hmm. I imagine astrology is like really old.
It is so old, I could not even really wrap my head around it.
Yeah, like, I don't know, but like...
We talking like Mesopotamia?
Exactly. It that is be. Actually where astrology...
It's about as old as something could be.
Yeah.
It's back to Mesopotamia.
Yeah.
Which is, I learned in school, the start of civilization.
The Tigris and the Euphrates, right?
Yes, the Tigris and the, those two rivers.
Yeah.
They made the cradle of life. Was that what they called it?
Social studies.
Social studies. Really?
We're going shout back.
Outs.
Yeah.
Shout outs to... Oh, man, don't remember my social studies teacher's name. Shout-outs to him
he
or
was,
her.
He was a tall, hunched-over man in a green plaid shirt.
I do remember my...
That was my social studies
My history teacher in ninth grade, I don't remember his name, but I remember he was a funny man who I once saw tackle a kid. Because the kid had, like, set a fire in the bathroom. And was running away, and my history teacher just tackled him.
Wow.
And he was not like an aggressive man.
What a hero!
He was not an aggressive man at all. He was not the kind of man you would expect to tackle a child.
Okay, but that motherfucker
set a fire
in the bathroom.
Yeah, but why do you need to apprehend the fire doesn't go out when you tackle the kid? And let him run.
What if he set another fire?
Put the fire out.
What if he was running to set another fire?
He was running away from school. I would have let him go. And it was a weird day. It was a weird day at school that day. We all, like, school was canceled for, like, the first half of the day because there was a fire in the bathroom.
My main memory of my social studies teacher is that I went to social studies right after I learned that 9/11 happened.
And
I just remember the transition. I don't remember the rest of the day.
Okay, yeah, that's... not as funny.
Well, I wasn't trying to be funny. This is my main association with social studies. Also, the Tigris and the Euphrates.
So yeah. Is there any like one culture that like really hit on astrology real hard?
We're gonna get there.
We're getting there.
We're trucking there.
Okay, start. Let's keep on trucking.
So as you're saying, right? First civilization. Yeah, it's really old. It has been argued that astrology began as a study as soon as human beings made conscious attempts to measure, record, and predict seasonal changes by reference to astronomical cycles. This makes sense. Moon is full, waves are wild, shit gets fucked up. Gods are angry. Moon is full.
And I imagine it started like somewhat to just like a description of like time. Like
yes.
You know,
yes,
like,
that's why they're measuring it, right? Because it was a measure of time, and then they started noticing patterns, and they attributed things to those patterns. Seasons, for example. It's really cold. A lot of us are dying. Stars are doing this shit. Gods are mad at us. I hope we live. Like,
they get this way once a year.
Right. actually, it was. It's been speculated that some of the signs originally came about as more of remembering to do certain tasks. So, for example, Pisces is a sign of two fish. And so it can be said that perhaps they're trying to remember that this was the season to go get fish. You know, this was like the peak of that.
So they like opened up their calendar and they're like, oh, it's fish month.
Right.
I need to go fish.
Exactly.
But how consistent have these images associated with all of the, like Capricorn's billy goat. I know this because I'm a Capricorn. Scorpio's a scorpion.
It's scorpion time. We need to go get scorpions.
Like, how consistent have these images been throughout time? Is that something...
They're actually very similar to each other. Most of the astrological signs that were originally found in the... What is it? Mesopotamia? There we go. They're almost the same as ours. I think there was only four that were different. They were still the same in symbolism, but their names were changed.
I see.
So there have been some evolutions throughout time as this has journeyed from culture to culture until finally it arrived with us. But for the most part, it's pretty much pretty Billy similar. Goats, yeah, crabs. You can see it. You can see where it came from.
It's crab time. Time to go get crabs.
Yeah.
It's goat time. Time to go get some goats. They only had so many things they needed to do.
Time to climb the mountains. Sheer mountains.
It's virgin time.
Ooh. Oh, God.
That's not a... It's not a...
We're gonna...
They only had so many things they needed to do. I can't think of... It's lion time. Time to go get the lions.
Time to go get mauled.
There used
by
to
a
be
lion.
A lot less animals in the world.
Do you...
No.
Do you think
this
so?
This is why. There were only about 9 animals.
Okay.
I don't.
Haven't you read the Bible, Brandon?
Oh.
Oh.
I actually haven't.
That's fine.
And so you asked if there was any kind of society that was really into astrology compared to the others. The truth is that just a lot of society has some sort of astrological system, and this makes sense. Like you're saying, back then there just wasn't a lot to do. We didn't have the internet, we didn't have TV, didn't really have newspapers. We had the sky, and it had stars, and you could stare at that. So it was much easier for them to track patterns and to interpret things from that. And so many cultures have attached importance to astronomical events. And some of them, such as the Indians, Chinese, Maya, they developed elaborate systems for predicting terrestrial events from celestial observations. And so there are two main types of astrological systems in the world. They're typically either dictated by the sun or the moon, depending on the region. So Eastern tends to follow the moon, whereas Western follows the sun. And so our system that we're using now is heavily derived from the sun. This is the time and the patterns that we're following, as opposed to being dictated by the moon.
Okay, and, okay, sure. I don't really know what that means, though. Like, what it, we
the,
follow
the
sun.
The sun versus the moon thing?
Yeah.
So, you know how we weren't really sure what rotated around what a long time ago?
Yes.
So some people, their Galileo. Time was dictated by cycles of the moon, whereas some people kind of figured out, you know, a sun does this in the sky for this many times, that makes a year.
Sure,
therefore, their calendars are dictated by the sun.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. And so, yes.
Is there a point at which you feel like these astrological systems transitioned from being means of survival in the world to being like cultural artifacts that yield like insight into your personal life only?
There was a point in time in which it stopped being overall. Again, this is mundane astrology is what we're talking about.
Right.
We're trying to predict the seasons. We're trying to predict things around us in a larger picture rather than our own individual lives. And so, yes, there was a shift in a point in time in which it changed from mundane more to natal. And so the oldest recorded system of astrology came from the Babylonians in 2nd millennia BC, although I found another quote that said it started as early as the 4th millennia, and I just didn't know what was true. I'm not a historian. I did not feel like calling a historian to verify one way or the other. Google gave me very little proof.
Right. I mean, and there must have been, like, something that could be relatable to astrology.
Right.
Like, since
there
the
was
beginning
definitely,
of civilization.
Of course, yeah. There was definitely something. And so the one that is undisputed, like, this is an astrological system. This is something meant to make predictions of future events based off stars. That is confirmed to come from the Babylonians. Every source confirmed that, so. So, again, their astrology was mundane and concerned with matters of weather, harvest, and politics. They were very concerned about the king. Technically, I guess his would be a little more of that natal or events in his life. But, again, that's related to a political system. It wasn't really about him
as a
person.
Right, he's like the king. So what happens to him sort of affects
exactly
the greater order.
Exactly.
Of things.
Sure. If it's one of the planets are looking angry that day, if a goddess is pleased, you want to keep knives away from the king, maybe for that day, maybe forever. I don't know. But so, like I said, Western astrology originates heavily from the Babylonians, which was then spread to ancient Greece, Rome, the Arab states, and Central and Western Europe. And it was Egyptian astrology that was the first to divine aspects of personality based on position of the stars when born.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like, yeah, that's like kind of how we understand astrology today.
Exactly.
Comes from, like, the Egyptians were the first to do that.
Yes. They were the first to actually care about you as an individual and think the stars were saying something about that. Yes.
It's just important to care. It's important to care about individuals.
There weren't individuals until Egypt. There were not, like, single human beings. Just there were just, like, clusters.
One writhing mass.
Yeah, there
of
were just,
humanity.
Like, bubbly goop. And we called that humans. And that was also when there were only 9 animals.
And we've actually re-entered that age, and now it's called the internet.
Mm-hmm. And there's also 9 animals again.
Oh. So when you said earlier that there used to be fewer animals, what you meant was there used to be as many animals as there are right now.
Yeah, I don't remember what I said. I just know that it's true.
I get that. I feel that. Yeah. Marina, please. Stop us from derailing you.
No, you can keep derailing. It's fine. So the point in which the Egyptians adopted this practice came from after the occupation by Alexander the Great in 332 BC, when Egyptian came under
Helena?
Yes. Okay. Rule. And influence. The city of Alexander was founded after the conquest, and in that city, Babylonian and Greek astrology mixed with existing Egyptian astrology. And so specifically what happened was that Egyptians' astrological system of measurement of the sky by constellations were mixed with the Greek system of planetary gods, sign rulership, and the four elements. And this is very similar to what we have today, and we're going to go into that later.
Okay.
And so throughout most of its history, astrology was actually considered a scholarly tradition and was common in academic circles, often in close relation with astronomy, alchemy, meteorology, and medicine. During the 20th century and following the wide-scale adoption of the scientific method, astrology has been challenged successfully on both theoretical and experimental grounds and has been shown to have no scientific validity. Yep.
I often say things don't have scientific validity. That's why I'm very familiar with that word.
Again, Mercury is retrograding. I'm going to use that my excuse for the whole episode, and we're going to get into what that means later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to.
I was going to ask what it meant, but you said we'd do it later. So I guess we'll wait till later.
I have a question.
Yes.
And that question is, was there anyone saying that astrology did have scientific merit, or did scientists just feel like disproving it?
Scientists tested it. Again, this was something that was
Just like a major cultural force. Yes. So like it's something they interacted with.
Astrology used to be something that was taken very seriously. Again, it was scholarly. It was right up there with mathematics. Could learn for years and years and years about astrology and learn how to interpret the stars, charts. It's very complicated, and again, we're going to get into that. Most of my research, which took hours and hours and hours, was just trying to figure out how this math worked, how things linked with each other, and I have only described the very most basic things. So this is something you can really delve into.
Math.
Yeah, it is insane. It is stupidly complicated for something that cannot hold up to the scientific method.
Well, I'm glad you found something to do in the bunker. Because there's not a lot to do, and so I'm glad you found your time occupied.
Right. We're returning to the origins of astrology. I have nothing to do, and this is interesting. All right. And so we are about to get back into... we're going to go into our astrological charts. And, guys, I actually took the liberty...
So, let the record show that Marina just slid
two very thick documents. Yes. Two large
the table to Brandon and Curtis.
Let's see. I have one and Brandon has one. Mine has some circles on it with some lines and my birthday.
Mine also has all of that. But for me.
God, no, it's double-sided. Like, it's so much paper.
There's a phrase on here that says local side real time.
This is 12 yes. pages.
Local side real time.
No one knows. No one knows what that means.
I had to learn what that means.
I have to indicate that side real time is not the same time zone that I was born in, because it correct. Is not at all the time I was born.
Correct. Which also, is why finding your chart is so complicated.
How did you get all of this information about us?
Yeah, who told you this? Did you I can't think of anything.
I'll let you sleep on that.
I thought I could.
I want you to think of that while you're sleeping in this bunker that we're all stuck together.
I don't sleep anymore. You know that. Okay, so what are these documents you've handed us?
Right, so you're looking at a circle, is that right? And you see some lines on that circle?
Yeah.
That is correct.
Okay, so we're going to break this down step by step. So in Mesopotamia, the basis of Western astrology, the sky was thought of as a circle of 360 degrees with 12 divisions of 30 degrees each.
Okay.
This is the same chart used today. So you see on that outer layer of your circle,
yeah,
that is called the zodiac belt.
Yeah, and I recognize these symbols. These are like the main, like there's a Scorpio sign. And then yes.
I zoom past these in my emojis all the time.
They are in the emojis, yeah.
Yes, so it is the zodiac belt. That is where these signs are. They are a fixed chart, which means that they don't really move position from each other. They're always in order, although they do change in their rotation. But again, it's always in order. So Aries, Taurus, da-da-da. And so that represents where the constellations are relative to your position at your time of birth. And so where the sun falls in a constellation determines your sun sign, or what people will mean when they simply say their sign. So if I say I'm a Leo, I mean I'm a Leo sun. So signs are concerned with personality and emotion, and that's that section of your chart.
And that's like, yeah, the sun sign is just like what, it's just your normal, just at the most basic interpretation of astrology.
It is the most yeah. basic. It is the most simple, basic thing that you could take from a chart. In fact, some astrologers think that the sun sign isn't all that important, actually, because of how little it plays in your chart. It is one of the three main components, but it's easily influenced by other things that may be going on in there. So it is interesting that we speak primarily in that one. And again, it might just be because we're Western. History has mm-hmm. shifted. Other signs are more important at one point, but this is where we are. And so did you guys know anything about your signs or chart before this, before I shoved it at you?
I knew I was a Scorpio.
Okay.
That's about all.
Brandon?
And I had some conception of this, of a natal chart. I have seen the circle. I don't know that these lines are the same as the circle I saw before, because it's gobbledygook to me.
Is that like your belly button? Your natal?
No, that's navel.
Navel chart?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that like...
This is natal. N-A-T-A-L.
Is that like the Navy?
She's going to have to tell us. I don't know. I don't know. But I did know that I was Capricorn in my sun sign, and that yes. I had an ascendant in Virgo, and that my moon sign also was Virgo.
I remember speculating once that you must have very little Capricorn because of how un-Capricorn you may act. And then I actually saw your chart.
It. Yes.
And yes.
Yeah, I'm Virgo as fuck.
What? So there's also on here it says houses. And then the
we're
first
not
one
at houses
said,
yet. One step AC, at a time, Curtis.
And I'm just glad that my house has air conditioning.
Hey. What a good joke.
And then it says 21 degrees. So it's actually really good air conditioning. It's pretty cold in my house.
Celsius, yeah, are you comfortable?
That... I hope it's Fahrenheit, because that Celsius, that would not be very good.
That would not be very good.
Or maybe that would be just comfortable. I don't really know.
I think it's verging on uncomfortable.
I'm an American.
I think it might actually be okay.
You want to be chilled.
So there's actually, like, aside from the sun sign, there's, like, a moon sign, a Mercury sign, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, like, all the planets.
Yeah.
And then there's some more down here. One just says node.
Yeah. All right.
What is node?
I actually
what is Lilith?
Decided not even to touch that.
Are those just some, like, made-up planets?
Kind of. Lilith does not even exist. Lilith refers to empty space in the sky.
Well Lilith was...
So where is this empty space right now? Isn't the empty space always in the same spot?
It was something from, like, two spots from the eclipse of the moon. I read it. I knew it, and then I forgot it.
There's also a thing here called Chiron, C-H-I-R-O-N.
Okay,
isn't that... There's something about that in chemistry, isn't there?
So there are 12 signs. We have 12 signs in the zodiac belt. We're going to start there.
Is there a Nibiru sign?
Oh, God, I wish. You know what? There might be. Some astrologer probably did figure that out.
I bet there is.
Yeah.
Somewhere, because Nibiru has, like...
We'll have to figure that out later.
Ancient stuff. Anyway.
Yeah. Aliens. So, the 12 signs going in order, and again, they stay in this order as they rotate around. Aries.
Thank you, Brandon.
Do you want to continue, Brandon?
Do you want to name them all?
I always forget the second one.
I think Marina was going to do the talking, but do you want to...
No, go for it, Brandon. Just guess, actually. That'd be great.
It's like...
There's, like, Aries. Mm-hmm. There's, like, Thor. There's, like, Haagen-Dazs. There's, Pencil, right? Comes next.
I am definitely born under sign Pencil. You are correct.
I understood all of your references up to that point.
You don't know what a pencil is?
I know what a pencil is.
Well, before, yeah, that's it. That's the joke.
All right.
I said Haagen-Dazs before that. Like, what?
That almost sounds like a Greek god.
Haagen-Dazs is a type of ice cream.
I know it is. I said it almost what does sounded that mean? Like Scoops. A Greek god.
Scoops Haagen-Dazs.
Curtis Scoops.
So, what are all... give us a quick run through of all of them. Yeah.
Taurus, of course.
That's Gemini.
Yes.
Yep. Cancer.
Yeah.
Leo.
Yeah.
Virgo.
Yeah.
Libra.
Yeah.
Scorpio. Yeah. Sagittarius.
Yeah.
Capricorn.
Oh, God.
Aquarius and Pisces.
Okay, so it actually starts, at Aries?
Yes, it starts
at
Aries.
What time of the year is that?
May.
Like
No, it's no. April.
It's April.
Okay, the astrological year starts in April.
Right, it's dictated by the sky, not by the way that we in current America decide to set our calendars.
Yeah, and is there like an astrological new year like that you would like celebrate that's like significant at all? Like, is it counted
that
way?
I'm sure that answer is somewhere.
Okay.
It gets so... I cannot stress enough how complex this gets.
I understand. There's lots of lines.
How much you could dive into. Did you know that each sign rules a certain organ? I did not include that list.
Organ?
I know that because...
They didn't even know all the organs.
I believe Leo rules the liver. That is all I know. Again, we could go on forever. Every sign has their own colors. They have their own lucky days. There's a lot of personality to them. I definitely recommend just taking a quick look at it. It's something to do.
Okay, now I'm seeing down here.
Stuck in a bunker, it's something to do.
It is something to do.
So I had my houses that has the air conditioning.
Uh-huh.
And then down here there's elements also. And there's like fire, earth, air, water.
Yes.
And I only have one fire, so that makes sense why my air conditioning's so good. And I have seven waters and four airs.
Curtis is killing it with his interpretation.
So
here.
Ow.
So.
Quit hitting me with your natal chart.
Elements.
It's a really great weapon.
There are four elements. There's actually four main ways to categorize the signs. And the first is what people are aware of. If you're aware of your sun sign, you're usually aware of what element that sign is in.
What happened when the Fire Nation attacked?
The whole world gave up.
The moon died.
They were destroyed. And then Aang showed up. And he's kind of a jerk. But...
Okay, now we're going too far into Avatar The Last Airbender lore.
That's just the first episode, bro.
I.
They also had some astrology in there.
I'm sure they did.
They went on that calendar and they're like, oh, the moon does shit at this
point. Except the moon died.
And the Fire Nation will attack. Yeah, that's what it said. The moon will die.
Oh.
If I remember right. Okay. So there.
I don't remember that.
So the four elements are also known as the triplicities, named for the division of the 12 signs into four groups of three each. So you have fire.
Okay. I understand this.
Aries. Yeah. Leo and Sagittarius.
So there's three fire signs, three air, three earth, three water.
Correct.
Because 12 divided by 4 is 3.
Yes.
That is correct. I can 100% confirm that 12 divided by 4 is 3.
Great.
All right. Okay. And so earth is Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. You guys are very earth, as you can see in your charts. Air is Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. Water is Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. And so the elements are referring to a certain aspect of personality. Earth is very grounded. Air tends to be very intellectual. They're more concerned with worldly matters, and they're not so much emotional, whereas water is emotion.
Scorpios are water?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. You know what's not water?
No.
Aquarius.
No. I don't know. Oh.
I say that because a lot of people think Aquarius is water.
Aquarium.
I actually got into a vicious argument with a classmate in sixth grade because she insisted she was water. And I said, no, you're Aquarius. It is absolutely air. And we just couldn't talk after. It wasn't happening.
It's really horrible when someone's wrong about something and they want to be right about it, but you have to tell them that they're wrong.
Right, and I didn't have internet on my phone then, you know.
Yeah,
it was still a flip phone, so I couldn't just Google it and shove it in her face.
Really insist
right.
that she was wrong.
Right, and she could go on believing she was correct because, again, I could not shove it in her face.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And it gets even a little more fucked up because Aquarius means water bearer.
Like a, what are those called?
Cup.
What?
A fountain?
No, never mind. Just go on.
Person who gives water.
Oh, bearer.
Bearer. Not bear. Not water bear.
I heard bear. I heard water bear. And then you said cup. And I didn't understand. Okay. We're killing it with astrology today.
Yeah, we're doing great. Something weird about my chart that took me a while to find out. So my sun is in Leo. I am a fire sign. I learned that my mother, my father, and my grandmother are all Pisces. And my uncle is a Scorpio. So they are all water.
Okay.
I thought it was very strange that a fire sign came from water. Turns out my moon sign, which we're going to touch on.
Turns out your parents had sex 9 months before you were born.
That is correct.
So.
Actually, I was born a little early.
Turns out they didn't plan it. They could have planned it better. So can you just plan to have I'm just going to have an Aries.
Oh, yeah. People do that. I mean, I don't think they literally do that, but when Beyonce was about to pop those twins, they're like, please don't let them be Geminis.
But they're literally twins.
I know, because they had to come out. Yeah,
right.
No, people were like, please, please just make
it. But they're twins. Like, they should be Geminis.
I know, yeah, she's magical. I'm not saying she planned that. I'm not saying she planned that. I'm saying... they were born under the Gemini stars, and they happened to... As they developed into that time,
what's the other one's name?
Became twins.
Rumi and
can for the rest of us that don't know much about Beyonce's offspring, did they end up being Geminis?
Yes,
they did.
I confirmed that already.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, so
Anyways, my family's water. I found out much later. My moon is in Aquarius, which means water bearer. So
water
bearer. Yes.
Water bear.
Bestowing their heritage.
You're carrying your family's emotions. Is
correct?
That what you're,
apparently.
See? Sure.
So you're a cup.
I am a cup.
We are all cups.
I'm not a cup. I'm a Scorpio. I have air conditioning.
You're actually a water sign.
You are a water sign.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So you're the water in the cup.
Okay.
Are you
moving
guys carrying
on.
Me?
Moving on. The second is dualities. There are two groups containing six signs of each. The first is masculine, which is defined to be direct and energetic, or other words, out-directed and strong through their actions. So that's Aries, Gemini, Leo, Libra, Sagittarius, and Aquarius. And then the second group is the feminine, which is considered receptive and magnetic, or in other words, self-contained and strong through their inner reserves. Taurus, Cancer, Virgo, Scorpio, Capricorn, Pisces. Third would be the quadruplicities, three groups containing four signs, which denotes a specific quality. So there is the cardinal, or the initiator, Aries, okay. Cancer, Libra, Capricorn. There's the fixed, or the sustainers, Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius. And then there's immutable, or the mediators, Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces. And so, for example, what I mean by that is that Aries, as a cardinal sign, initiates action. Leo, as a fixed sign, sustains action. And then Sagittarius, as a mutable sign, adapts to action. And so, and I'm just using action because these are fire signs. And so it changes for every element as you go down between the cardinal, the fixed, and the mutable. Do you have questions about that? You look a little...
I have no questions that I could formulate into words. Let's say that.
You may be interpreting our eyes glazing over, trying to understand all of this as questions.
I understand that, you're setting up, there's different attributes here. And they, different
and I also, dimensions. I also see what the numbers are doing.
And they all sort of, match up here, row A...
Yes.
Column B, G4, I hit your battleship sort of situation.
Yes.
It's also a little bit like reading Invisible Cities. Because of the numbers.
A book by... okay. Listens to our podcast has read that book. Well, if you've read the book Invisible Cities by Italo Calvino,
please let us know. It's a wonderful book.
It's a wonderful book.
It's maybe the greatest book I've ever read. It also has numbers. I'm just talking about the numbers, Curtis.
It has some numbers. I don't really remember what Brandon's talking about.
Okay, fine.
But, Marina, you're giving us some dimensions, different dimensions that all line up and mean things.
And again, I'm only going through the four main categories right now. There are probably endless ways to categorize the signs. I had to give up trying to figure out at some point because, again, just one little piece of each of this topic can spiral. But so for the last one, that would be the polarities. So the 12 signs divided into six groups of two. Polarities are two signs that are an opposite and express opposite characteristics.
Okay, so every sign has an opposite.
Correct.
Okay.
So Aries opposes Libra.
Are they just all opposite on this chart that's in front of me?
Yeah, if you look at the chart and you look at one sign and you draw a straight line to the sign across from it, yes, those are the polars.
Okay, that's sensible.
Right. And so those polar signs is Aries to Libra, Taurus to Scorpio, Gemini to Sagittarius, Cancer to Capricorn, Leo to Aquarius.
No one knows why that's funny.
And Virgo to Pisces.
Including me. I don't know why that's funny.
So funny story. My sun is actually in Leo. And again, my moon is in Aquarius, which just means I'm fucked up on my chart. Because those are your two of your main signs. And they are opposite. And so that does something funky to both of those signs. You can't really just read them straight. Okay. And now we are ready to talk about the planets. You guys are trying to jump to that so fast.
Well, it was the first thing on my...
Mercury, Venus, Earth, Jupiter, Mars.
You said those out of order. But
I wasn't trying to say them in order necessarily.
Pluto's not a planet.
So, yes. We're also going to talk about what is and is not a planet. And so for our listeners... basically, what we're saying is that your sun sign, your main sign, is not your only sign. And so the position of each planet at time of birth, or the zodiac constellation in which that planet falls, determines the aspect of your personality. So my sun sign is in Leo because the sun was in that zodiac belt of Leo when my birth occurred.
Yeah.
And so something is going to fall. Those planets are going to fall on any one of those signs. So not only do you have a sun sign, but you have a moon sign, a Mars sign, Jupiter, etc., that each rule a specific trait. So that that trait is being influenced by that planet. So if you want to follow along, you can go online, find a chart like I have given to Curtis and Brandon. They're really interesting to look at just to, again,
Marina
mess around.
Developed these on AstroSeek if you want to.
Yes.
AstroSeek.com.
We are not sponsored by them, but
I did
like them because they did not ask for your gender when putting this in. I find that that really plays no part in a chart. It also gets really specific. Curtis was going on about the Chiron and Lilith, and they talk about aspects. They just really get more detailed than some other charts will give you. Brandon actually tried to give me his charts previously, and it was a graph. I did not like it. I immediately went on to AstroSeek because I wanted that circle so you can actually see the way that those
lines and I thought that my circle was in that PDF I sent you.
It was
I don't
not.
Know what happened. Because I did get a circle. I don't know. Anyway.
So you really prefer like pie charts to graphs.
So those lines that you see in that circle, that means something. The graphs.
I hope so.
Yes.
So I hope the whole graph means something. I hope every like notation or drawing, I hope none of this is decorative.
So on a graph, it will tell you about those lines, which are called aspects, but I just think it's cooler to see it. And also just to visually see where shit actually is in the sky. It's just better visually. Okay, but so there are 10 planets total. And when we're speaking about planets in an astrological sense, it's not denoting a literal planet. So what it includes is the 8 planets within our solar system.
Right. Minus Earth.
But excluding Earth and adding the Sun, Moon, and Pluto.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. So, planets govern the specific area of your personality or approach to life. So, Sun is your basic personality. That changes every month. Moon is your moods and your emotions. Some people call it the unconscious self. Some people call it the shadow. But I think emotional is usually the most simple way to read it. Mercury is your mind and your communication. So what I've been saying this whole episode, this is all happening because we are in Mercury retrograde, is that I knew my words were going to be fucked up because Mercury is retrograding.
Right. So what does retrograding mean?
So retrograding is when the planet gives the illusion of going backwards. Of course, it's not actually going backwards. But what it's doing is it's suddenly exuding an enormous amount of energy. Again, I'm not speaking in a literal sense. I'm just saying this is what it means in astrology.
So it looks like in the sky that it's moving backwards.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this happens at set times every year? Or it's something observed in...
It's observed in the sky.
So... okay. But it's not regular every year. It's different every year. Mercury record, like it's not like June 14th to June 20th.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't fall on a set calendar date. It just occurs when it actually, it looks like Mercury shifts every 3 to 4 weeks, although that's not necessarily into retrograde. We get them pretty often. If you hear people complain about Mercury retrograde and it seems like it's happening all the time, that's because it'll go into retrograde like 3 times during the year.
Definitely.
And they last for a while.
Some of my skepticism about astrology has been about
Mercury retrograde?
How often people talk about Mercury retrograde.
And that's because it fucks with a lot of stuff, and it's also really easy to blame everything on Mercury. So Mercury, Mercury, of course, is not in charge of every aspect. You know, if something catches on fire, that's not Mercury's fault. But let's say you're having technical...
You know, I'm just glad that we can clarify that when things catch on fire, that's not Mercury's fault. Because I think a lot of people are confused about that and about how fire works.
You're welcome.
A lot of things have been catching on fire recently, and there have been a lot of blame.
That was when I was learning about, like, fire, I learned, like, it needs fuel, oxygen, and heat. and
not
nothing to do with Mercury whatsoever.
Hey,
yeah.
When that kid in school set the fire, it was not because of Mercury.
It was not Mercury's fault. It was his
assured.
Fault, and that's why he got tackled by my history teacher.
Your history teacher was not going into space and tackling Mercury.
He did not do that, and I don't think he ever will.
That sounds like a Mars influence, but I'm not going to get into that. So Mercury rules technology.
Okay.
Communication.
Okay.
Understanding. So if your plane is delayed, that might be why someone blames Mercury retrograde, because that was plans not working out the way that they were supposed to. Maybe a miscommunication has caused that. And again, just technology not working out. For instance, having to record the beginning of an episode several times because you just can't get it right. Or something mysteriously just stops working. And it's never done that before. And you just have to.
I have a new tangent that's just not related to what you're talking about at all.
Okay.
I found a new tab on this piece of paper just called speculum. My understanding is that a speculum is a gynecological device.
Tell us more about the speculum, Curtis.
I don't know. What is the... I mean, I think most people know what a speculum is, but why...
I can't help you.
To clarify...
What is an astrological speculum?
I have no idea.
Is it just a really big speculum?
To clarify for our listeners,
maybe it's
the
a speculum
tab we're currently
in your soul.
On is birth chart, and then there's alternative graphics, horoscope shape, aspect tables, and then speculum. Mm-hmm.
Is it just to, like, look into the vagina of the universe?
Yes. We're gonna
say
yes.
We should all be so lucky.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So, yep. So
take it from here.
Yeah. So Venus controls love and attraction. Mars is drive and energy. It's also considered war. So when I said sounds like a Mars influence, Mars can affect people's anger at times or their
yeah, that sounds like a very traditional interpretation of Mars.
Right. Jupiter is luck, growth, and wisdom. Saturn is discipline, fears, and challenges. Uranus is change and originality. Neptune is dreams and healing. Pluto is power and transformation. And so, yes?
I just have questions about, the addition of Pluto to the chart. Because Pluto wasn't really discovered as a planet until the 20th century. And so, no one could see it because it was too small until we got better telescopes. And then finally someone saw Pluto.
I wish I could help you.
You don't have anything.
I did not.
They must have added it at some point then.
Well, something something changed. You are correct. Something occurred. I'm not sure what. A lot of these names, you know, derive from the Greek and Roman gods. That's what they're named after. Mm-hmm. Pluto has been its name. I don't know if they they name their planets after their gods. So I don't know if they called something else Pluto, and then we decided to just give it to what we now consider Pluto.
Wasn't there a Pluto in the Roman mythology?
Yes. Hades.
So, that's right. So,
and what is Hades? Power and transformation. It's related. Again, this
sure.
is heavily coming
so,
from the
so,
Greek system.
So even if there wasn't necessarily... Like maybe when they were naming Pluto, when they found Pluto, they were like, let's name it Pluto. Because Pluto as a concept already existed.
Yeah, Pluto as a concept existed, and they named, you're correct,
right.
They named the planet Pluto after that.
And so they
thing.
Were just
you're
observing
right.
a certain energy in the sky that couldn't be seen with the naked eye, but, you know, like, the source of it couldn't be seen with the naked eye. I'm just spitballing
here. Yeah, what are you talking about? I don't understand what you're saying at all.
No. I don't know anything about this. I just feel really called out by my Venus sign, and I want to talk about it, but I wanted to not cut you off first.
But so you just like
spitballing. I'm just spitballing.
I don't want to cut you off, so I'm just gonna ramble incoherently.
Brandon,
okay, Brandon,
I'm sorry.
What do you want to talk about? Tell us what's on your mind.
The last sentence of my
your Venus. So it's your Venus sign. What was the Venus sign again?
Love and attraction.
Correct.
Okay, and your Venus sign is, like, what's
Aquarius.
The... Aquarius. Okay.
And the last sentence of this is... Oh, yeah, that would do some shit.
This,
yeah.
The last sentence in this is, there, meaning people who have Venus, Aquarius in their Venus, okay. Are, their cold and impersonal personality may be okay on social events or with their friends, but it may be the reason why somebody who is more than a friend leaves them.
Well,
I don't like it.
I felt very bad reading your chart at some point. There was this one very sad part. I actually thought I was reading my own chart, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is me, just very, very sad and depressed. And then I saw it was your chart, and I felt really bad.
Can you pinpoint that for me?
No, I don't. It's your Pluto. Great. Okay, so while Brandon's looking for that, so I'm gonna try to explain how that works. Planets being in certain constellations, and then the constellation coloring how that planet kind of happens. So my moon is in Aqua or Aquarius. Aqua is a sign of rational thinking and humanitarianism, or it's also considered a detachment from emotion. All right, and so this is in my moon, which rules emotion and the inner self. And so the result can be that my reaction to immediate impressionations from the outside world is with a scientific mind. And it might mean expressing emotions by saying how I'm thinking rather than what I'm feeling. Brandon's moon is in Virgo. And yes. Virgos are grounded signs, right? Y'all are Earth. And so that might mean instability, not being able to be grounded, is disastrous to your emotions. So Virgo...
Hi.
Virgo moons are practical and helpful, but it can also possibly make them sarcastic or standoffish because, again, it's that Earth colliding with that very emotional moon.
So, When I first learned that I had not only Virgo and Ascendant, but also Virgo and Moon, I was a little relieved because most of my life I read horoscopes and I was like, I don't give a shit about work. I don't give a rat's ass about work. And that's like the main thing they talk about in Capricorn horoscopes.
Right. Yeah.
And I was always like, ambition. Oh, I'm not motivated by this at all. In fact, I generally feel unmotivated. And right. So having that taken off of my shoulders.
You're
is good.
Certainly.
And I also, like, Virgo, the supportive, I just think I'm more, yeah.
I agree with that. And it's funny because both Capricorn and Virgo are Earth signs.
Yeah.
So it's a subtle shift, but Virgo definitely suits you. You know, you're still a homebody, which is kind of how Capricorn has always suited you.
Yeah.
But you're definitely more Virgo, a little more particular, a little more homely, a little more... humble in certain respects. I saw the word sarcastic a lot with Virgo, and I saw that both of you guys have Virgo in a lot of your charts. So that makes
also,
a lot of sense.
Also, why are you sad about my Pluto? It's Scorpio. Listen to this. They are prolific, universal, and capable. They radiate occult powers. Their sexuality is also transforming for them.
It must have been something else.
Okay. Because that's awesome.
Yeah, no, that. So what's really interesting is that Pluto takes a long time to shift.
Yeah, there's a note here.
We all are in Scorpio. Like, all three of us have our Pluto in Scorpio.
Yeah, Pluto takes about, like, 170 years to circle the sun.
12 to 15 is the cycle.
To circle the sun?
Curtis is referring to the universal physical...
I'm talking about how long it takes Pluto to go around the sun.
Object,
you're going back. You're going a little too vague. Yeah. I don't really know how long. I don't know exactly. But yeah. So if you were going to divide that by 12, then 15.
Right.
Probably takes 15 times 12 years for it to go around the sun.
Right. And so basically a lot of millennials have their Pluto and Scorpio, which is...
Wow, that suits us.
Yeah, exactly.
That suits our time.
I don't know. I don't understand. I don't get it.
Look, Curtis. People with Pluto and Scorpio have a passionate desire for mystery. They like to use intrigues, and they have a great disposition for personal transformation, but can happen especially through their desires. This does not seem like it
matches.
There's
a lot of ways to interpret
of course.
Signs and planets. Some people will take liberties when they're making horoscopes, but actually if you just get to what that planet represents and what that sign represents, you can find a lot of different ways in which that works. So Scorpio is a very intense, aggressive sign. Pluto is also very intense and dark sign. What did I read? I read that Pluto was about power and transformation. It's also considered the death planet. So when I'm saying transformation is Pluto, I could also just be saying rebirth because you have to die. So Pluto can dictate how you die and come back again. So,
So our whole generation's going to die the same way?
No.
Okay.
Emotionally, Curtis.
I don't understand.
How do you emotionally die? It's okay. It's okay. It's all right. We're moving on. Okay. And
hey, can I read a sentence real quick?
Sure.
I just found the lunar nodes. Mine starts, South Node and Leo North Node in Aquarius brings the conflict between self-centered, egocentric showing off and being aware that they belong to a group.
I would also like to. I found the description for Lilith. The first sentence: Lilith is a fictional point. So how? Did people look up in the sky and be like, "Let's look for the fictional point now. Let's look for that place that doesn't exist in the sky."
I think it's like two planes from where the moon used to be.
The second empty focal point of elliptical orbit of the moon around the Earth.
There you go.
But it still says it's fictional. That's not what I understand.
I don't know if they mean literally fictional, if they're just saying like it's not a physical place.
But they should not have used the word fictional then. Because that's not what the word fictional means.
You can go right to Astro Seek.
Is it Libra? It's Libra.
Go tell them.
It's Libra. It says, my Lilith is Libra.
Okay.
And the first sentence is, aspirations that cannot be fulfilled. Okay.
The first sentence of mine is, dedication or hell. There is no other choice. Dangers from the depths.
Oh, so mine also says, beware of inflammation of the bladder, kidneys, and urethra.
Wow, those are all bad. Beware those.
So remember how I said science can rule organs? And again, it was considered a science, went hand in hand with alchemy. So yes, they did believe that the stars also had influence over your physical body. If you start looking at your astrological signs, some sites will tell you that there is a certain way people in a certain sign will look. It is definitely not true. I have read too many descriptions of Leos having great hair. Sadly, it just doesn't work that way.
my Lilith, which is Scorpio, also suggests that I have either an incredible exuberance and wild sexuality or absolute rejection of sexuality.
Yeah, so Lilith is an interesting sign or... space, whatever.
it's a fictional point.
The fictional point, because it either means basically lust or rejection. Either you want an abundance of it or you do not want it at all. So my own sign, my Lilith is in Taurus, which means I can either be prone to wanting a lot of possessions, being ruled by those possessions, or I could be basically an extreme minimalist and refuse any kind of earthly things. So it just kind of shows what you're obsessed with. Mm-hmm. Or what you hate.
Huh.
Yeah. I wasn't planning to get into Lilith, but I'm glad we talked about it.
Well, it's just wild.
It is wild.
Like Curtis said.
It is certainly something.
It's fictional.
Yep.
Do they refer to it as fictional because it's like this balance between two extremes, and there's no choice made by the sign? It's just about what the choice is being made between.
I actually don't think I understood your question. Curtis, did you understand his question?
No, I wasn't listening at all. I was trying to read about my Uranus sign. I'm a Capricorn in Uranus. I have a fairly good chance to introduce and enforce new management methods.
Go for it.
That's what
go for it and try. Okay. So those are your planets. So are we all clear? Planets, 12th and a sign.
I know what most of these are real planets. Some of them are no longer considered planets, but are considered dwarf planets.
Right.
And some of them are fictional points.
So Lilith, Chiron, the South.
Those are fictional. Chiron is an asteroid.
Those are not considered planets. I couldn't find the word for what those are. They're basically little bonuses. They're just they're all bonus.
Extra buddy.
Okay. Oh,
they're under the objects section, actually. They're just some objects, is not true, because Lilith is a fictional point.
Right. Okay. So, there's signs, there's planets, and now we're going to get into houses. Do you know anything about the houses? You heard people talk about houses?
I've heard people talk about houses.
Great.
But that I meant that sarcastically.
I have seen houses referred to on a natal chart and been like, that's some bullshit, and ignored it.
Right.
Let's see. My son is in the second house. It focuses on resources. I don't know. I can't read this. Hold on. Next. Pass
okay.
me.
Oh, okay.
My son is in the fourth house. It creates people who have strong roots in their home and like security.
Wow, Earth sign.
Oh, wow. Yep. Oh, this is actually totally wrong. It says, these people have the energy to achieve their personal goals, financial security, and other material values. That's right. Definitely
Curtis,
not
Curtis,
true.
Curtis, you know, if you've extracted anything from what we've talked about so far, what you need to understand is this, your son, that's like a baseline. And all
it's
of the other things
yeah.
are things that are either... you know, bullying that or working against it. So the reason you might not feel aligned to that may have something to do with all of the other shit.
But here's the thing: it also says the sun creates not only the desire but also the abilities needed to achieve material success. That is the next sentence in this paragraph.
Again, there may be other things in your chart,
but everything Brandon says is wrong, and it specifically says Brandon, and that's really weird.
That only that just suggests that we were always meant to be friends.
Look, your sign is in that sun, so that's saying that. But the reality is, we were also born within a depression, and so you got to take that into account. Things all go into account.
So then, let me look at my Pluto house then. But you continue talking. Okay. Tell me what fucking houses are, I guess.
Great.
What are houses?
I also wasn't completely sure. A lot of my research took just figuring out what the fuck a house was. And I couldn't figure out if a sign went in it or a planet. I saw a lot of conflicting things. And then I finally figured it out. So, beyond the planets and into the houses. Houses are separated into 12 divisions, each house ruling a separate area and function within life. So whereas the signs are personality traits, and then the planets dictate where those traits are expressed, this is talking about what area in your life those are expressed in. So the houses are the first for the self, second for money and possessions, or as you said, resources. Third is for communication. Fourth is for the home. Fifth is for creativity and sex. Sixth is for service and health. Seventh is for partnership and marriage. Eighth is for death and regeneration. Ninth is for mental exploration and travel. Tenth is for career and public standing. 11th is for friends and hopes and wishes. And 12th is for secrets, sorrows, and self-undoing. And so as I'm saying these things, remember, there's a lot of different ways to speak about houses or any of the aspects of what I just said. So
my moon Virgo is in the 12th house.
Oh, maybe that's what made me sad. I think that was
creates loners who sometimes have the need to move away from everyday life.
That was it.
Wow, that describes me.
Read the last few lines.
Oh man.
I felt like when I was reading the descriptions of all the planets and the signs and the planets, I was like, mm-hmm. I guess these sort of make sense. But now that I'm starting to read the houses,
I know
they're all saying I'm going to be successful and that I'm really good at making money and being nice to people. I feel like that's not true.
Like they might be wrong.
Unless this podcast is really about to take off. And I don't know why, but for some reason I feel like that's not going to happen.
So,
and even if it did, we would still need to find a way to make money off of it.
Right.
So there are different things that are always going to be influencing your chart. So just because you have a sun and a certain sign in a certain house, all of those qualities can be negated depending on what position it is to something else or the time you're born or other signs that are going on in your chart. So to actually analyze this and figure out how you would apply it to yourself, you'd really have to sit down with it and look at it. And again, it's nothing that you can pull from an online system. You just have to understand these different aspects and then figure it out yourself, basically, and interpret it as a whole. And so that's why they're kind of vague. Also, it's Curtis and Brandon were looking at me.
I just
the
like
most dumbfounded.
As a predictive system,
did not hold up to scientific theory. All right,
I don't find it very helpful because at any point you could just be like, so it means this, but it could also just not mean that.
So there are specific.
It's a dynamic system.
Can't get to anything from it because at any point, like everything you read could be secretly negated by something else.
So you're asking the question, why astrology? This episode is about what astrology? What is astrology?
Yeah, okay.
So I'm just going to let you sit with those thoughts.
Say that the last few sentences of my moon in Virgo or 12th house are very sad.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
They're really sad, and
I thought that moon was mine, and I was like, this is real, and it just wasn't.
No, they don't reflect your life. They do reflect my life.
Well, they have an interesting way of reflecting my life. I don't necessarily agree with the way that the site decided to interpret it, but again, if you just know what the
planets
mean,
some of these are really, like, really big downers.
So
they may work. Oh, no. They are not able to express themselves well because their emotions are often confused.
Yes. So here's a great example of what I'm talking about when they're trying to give you something physically specific, but that's not true. So you have, it's a Virgo and moon.
Yes.
You have an earth sign and an emotional planet that is in your house of undoing. So that's why it's saying you're emotionally distant, because you're already having trouble with your emotions, and that is going to be the thing that's fucking you up in life. And so one of the things that they say is
confirmed.
That you might work in a hospital. That's because as a Virgo, you can be caring and you do want to think about people. And so they're just assuming that from your desire to connect to the larger scope of things and be helpful. And again, you're lonely and you want a place to help. They're saying, so you could work in a hospital, but obviously that's, there's other ways that those aspects
absolutely.
Could play
you can,
out.
You can heal your loneliness in a variety of ways.
Right.
Yes. Of course.
So,
Where are you at, Curtis?
I don't know. Like, I feel like all of this can't possibly be true about a single human being. Like, I read all of these paragraphs. It's like, so, it's probably about like 36 different paragraphs describing like attributes of my personality, supposedly. And they can't all be true. They're just all distinct. And it's literally like, I normally would say that like people are really complex. This is more complex than an actual person.
It's going to get more complex. We're only at the three basic stages, sign, planet, house.
Marina, I was asking earlier.
Yeah.
Or I was saying, like, there's a baseline and then all these elements that may conflict or support those things.
Right.
Would you say that is an accurate assessment of what you've presented us with so far?
I hope so.
I don't know. I don't understand your answer.
I don't understand your question. the planets rotate around and fall into not only a certain zodiac, which dictates the part of your personality that's influenced, but then the planets will fall into the certain section of your house. So, and you can see that if you look at your chart, that so the planets are going to be one of those outer circles.
Okay.
And it's divided. So you see the planets are in different places in the circle.
Yeah.
So that planet is going to be under the outer circle of the zodiac belt. And then it's also going to be under one of those houses.
This is one of those times when I have a really strong urge to just nod and act like I understand. and I really don't understand.
Okay. You but, see the very outer circle?
No, like at a very...
I
mean at like a very basic level. I don't know. I know that we're talking about astrology right now and that there are houses.
Yes.
And that's we're talking about houses.
Yes.
And that that's I don't understand.
Okay,
beyond
okay.
that.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. We're gonna move on. We're gonna get in a little bit more into what a house physically is. Like just where it is in relation to you. Yeah, because all I've said now is that there's 12 divisions. Where do you know where it is? How do you know that in context anything? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But basically, yeah, planets are parts of your life. So the home, work, creativity, marriage, da-da-da. Okay, and so we talked a little bit about how a sign and a planet influences the house it's in. So my moon is an aqua. Right, so I have trouble with my emotions, and that's in the fourth house. So what they're saying for people with their moon in the fourth house, not necessarily aqua, is that you have a strong connection and emotional peace within the home, and that includes a broader sense such as origin, country, tradition, etc. And then there was Brandon Sad, moon in Virgo, in the 12th house, which is saying that basically... they have trouble processing their emotions, so they're not necessarily going to be the best with people. They may struggle to express themselves. They can't make connections because of that. And so the moon in the 12th house emphasizes that these people will only feel secure when they are distanced. Because they don't have to deal with other people's emotions.
Hi, Marina.
Hi, Brandon. So I'm going to move on to the ascendant sign, and this is going to be confusing. I'm also confused. We're just going to go with it.
Wait, the what? What
are we? The ascendant sign.
The ascendant sign.
Yes.
What does that mean?
So the ascendant sign is considered to make your most apparent personality. This is also, has been described as first impression. So my ascendant is in Scorpio. Which can mean that my first impression with people is that I am standoffish,
it's,
cold,
it's like scorpion
a bitch.
Like.
Right.
Okay.
That's their first impression. So it's debated on whether the ascendant sign is the same thing as your first house. So some things will say the ascendant and the first house can be different. Some things say, no, it is the same thing. But basically, the ascendant sign is a sign that was rising on the eastern horizon when you were born.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
so on this chart, they considered the first house to be the ascendant. So your AC, your air conditioning.
Okay.
That's your ascendant.
21 is what it says.
21 degrees. Okay. What's the sign?
06.
What?
I don't know.
Brandon, look.
There's numbers. There's just
what is,
numbers.
What is the symbol?
I don't know. He also has Virgo in his ascendant.
Oh, right. So I did not know the minute you were born. I only knew the hour. So your ascendant could be inaccurate on that chart because it changes about every 4 minutes. Like it could just be. Yeah, yeah. So you could have twins with a different birth chart if they take longer
Man,
than
like,
4 minutes.
But like what fucking point are they coming from? Because like
okay.
What if your legs are out? But, like, your head's not out yet. Like, maybe it takes longer than 4 minutes for you to get all the way out. Like,
Yeah, I don't know if they count it from when you start emerging. Also, I hope your head's out before your legs
so that you that's the wrong way. Yeah, but I guess that works sometimes. I don't really know much about that either. But
it's complicated.
But maybe your head's out and your legs aren't. Admit, what if your toes are still in? Like,
I don't know.
I think they count you born when you're all out.
You're all out. When the last bit. What if just like your toe just stays in for a couple minutes and like.
Then you're not born.
But like you're done. Being born,
you are.
You're
your
just
toes in there, bro.
Just sitting there for like a minute, like
you gotta get your. You can't.
You're like crying and breathing and doing math already.
I sure as shit was not doing math a couple minutes out of the womb.
But what? That seems still really a lot.
What do you mean a lot?
Like every 4 minutes. Also, who the fuck knows what time they were born?
They record it.
It's on your birth certificate.
I don't remember. I didn't record.
I don't remember either. I only know because my dad told me randomly one day. Same. And I was like, this is great. And I immediately made my chart. And that was it. That was the best thing he ever gave me. That's my time of birth, so I can make a chart. So the ascendant sign is a sign that was rising on the eastern horizon. Again, it may or may not be the first house. It kind of depends on just who you're talking to. Astro Seeker considers the ascendant to be the first house. And so every house system is dependent on the rotational movement of Earth on its axis. But there's a wide range of approaches to calculating house divisions and different opinions among astrologers over which house system is the most accurate. So to calculate the houses, you need to know the exact time, date, and location. So the houses are divisions of the ecliptic plane at the time and place of the horoscope in question. They are numbered counterclockwise from the cusp of the first house, that means the start. Commonly, houses 1 through 6 are below the horizon, and houses 7 through 12 are above the horizon, but some systems do not respect that division necessarily.
So, like, what object are they tracking that's, like, at a certain place in the sky?
So, it's not,
Is it a fictional point?
No, that's a different thing.
So they're dividing the elliptical plane. So, it's not a point in the sky. Houses are divisions of the elliptical plane in reference to when you're born. So, now, what is rotating, right, over that elliptical plane... are the signs and the planets, right? So the planet is rotating into a sign, right? So Pluto went into Scorpio. Pluto and Scorpio, in relation to the Earth, then, are going over a certain house. And the house is dependent on where you are on the Earth. That's how it's calculated.
My house.
It's dependent on where you are born.
Is it?
So two people can be born at the same time, but they're on different places of the Earth, so they're going to have different houses.
So
because it's how the plane of the Earth is divided.
Because they're too far apart to be living in the same house, because so, like, that'd be annoying. So they're...
Living in the same house.
So, like, I have my own house. And Brandon had a different house because he was born in another state than me.
Right.
So we didn't live together.
You know what's very funny is that there are some very similar things about your charts that made me laugh because y'all are born like a total year apart and just not around
we're
the same time at
all.
We're not
born a year apart at all.
We're just like a few
we're born
months
like
apart.
A couple months apart.
No, yes, I know. I'm saying it's not. You have interesting charts anyways.
Wait, so you're saying that the houses are set quadrants in the sky which adjust because
not in the sky. The elliptical plane. Wait, maybe...
So what
wait,
I'm saying...
Wait, maybe yes, wait! Do you know what I'm bad at? Math. Do you know what this is?
Are we doing math right now?
Not yet.
So I'm
not saying the sky, I mean like...
Geometry? This is geometry, right?
I don't know what this is, Marina. Keep telling me about houses. And the elliptical plane. Okay,
Let's
move on.
Okay.
What's after houses?
The houses are it. I kind of... Okay, so... sign and planet and house. So just to sum up everything we've just gone through, and again, this is the basic planets are the forces that act. Signs represent how the planets act.
Okay.
Houses represent where the planets act.
Right. Okay.
Okay. We together now?
We're all together.
So when I say...
I'm here with you.
So when I... I'm just going to move on.
Okay.
We're
moving on.
It's very easy to just get confused. So remember how I said that, like, certain traits can be negated or changed based off just relationship to, like, other planets and signs?
Yes.
So those are called aspects. Those are those lines on your chart. Also, look at Curtis's chart.
Oh, no, there's more.
There's more.
Oh, no, I thought we were done. Oh, no.
Show me
she
your
said
chart.
Houses was it.
Show it's, me your
and
chart.
And now there's aspects.
Well, we hadn't talked about the lines yet.
I thought we did.
No.
We How did you I thought that was the elliptical plane. The fictional point.
All right, so you see all these lines?
I see lots of lines.
So, okay.
So are you drawing attention to the thick red line across this chart?
There's a thick red line and many thin blue lines.
Listeners, you cannot see this, so that I'll just describe it. Basically, all of the lines on Curtis's chart line up into this very neat, nice little triangle.
Yeah, it's pretty beautiful.
As opposed to my chart, which...
Wow.
Oh, wow.
A mess.
I just thought they were supposed to be
a
triangle.
Mess.
Marina's is not a triangle at all. It's many different shapes. Brandon's is actually also
similar.
A triangle.
Yeah, it's very similar to
yours.
Well,
kind of.
It's not as
Brandon doesn't
as
have a thick red line. I have a thick red line.
I have a thick blue line.
You have thick blue lines.
Oh, I have two thick blue lines. You're right.
Marina has a thick blue line and a thick red line. Huh. And then everything else is... It looks like...
Wait, does she have a dotted line?
It looks like it's like... What air traffic control sees when they're, like, deciding what planes get to land.
Now, did she circle this in red, or is this another aspect?
I circled something in red.
Yeah, it looks like Marina's also made annotations
to... Oh, yeah, she has.
Hers.
Aspects.
Yeah, she wrote some words on it. Okay, so here you go, Marina.
Thank you. Anyways, y'all's is very neat and nice.
Well,
mine is
nice.
A hot mess.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
I try not to be a mess. I don't ever succeed. Except in my natal chart, I guess.
Right. So, aspects are relationships between two planets and calculated by the degree of how far apart they are. So, a conjunction is 0 degree, which means in the same degree, sign, or within 10 degrees of one another. This is considered powerful and a big influence on the energies of those planets. Then we have the trine. Trine is 120 degrees apart. This is considered to be harmonious, and it brings advantage and ease to those two planets. Too many trines in your chart can make you lazy because things just work out, and you don't really have to try it for anything.
That sounds nice, though.
Are you
it does
calling
sound
us
nice.
Lazy?
No.
What are you calling us because we have a triangle?
I don't feel like measuring your
There's
your
also down here something says orbs.
I don't know what those are.
And it
I
says
did
default
not get that far.
Orbs.
Wow.
Parallels of Deckel.
And then orb 1.2 degrees.
Okay. So after the trine, we have opposition, 180 degrees. These are unharmonious. They bring strain and discordance. Sextile is 60 degrees. This is harmonious, brings opportunity, but you have to work for the benefit as opposed to trines, which in which
I don't
case
like
you just
that as
it.
Much as the one where you don't have to work.
Right. You want to be a little lazy.
No, I want it to just be given to me. I want to be completely lazy.
Okay, great. I think we all deserve that. Squares, 90 degrees, are challenging. They place obstacles and teach us lessons.
Squares are challenging. Squares are hard.
Yeah?
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 Squares
you
are hard.
Have
you ever
about
like
that?
Tried? You ever thought a square was easy?
I've always thought it was a very pleasing shape.
I have neither found it to be a pleasing shape or hard.
I don't know. Are you supposed to be able to look at these lines and tell what they mean?
Okay.
Like,
so, let me see.
Because I can't.
So, looking at your chart, And I'm saying specifically the chart that you have in your hand. No, there's not really a way for you to understand it, but if you go through the text and you go through your last pages, they do start explaining your aspects. And so it'll spell it out for you. You don't have, luckily, so charts used to be very difficult to do. You had to do them by hand. It took a lot of calculation, a lot of conversions. You needed multiple reference books, and even then they could have errors. Nowadays, we are blessed with the internet, and you can just find an astrology chart calculator very easily. There's all kinds. You just need a few details of information, pop it in, and you don't have to think or worry about it. You just get a really accurate chart that breaks things down for you. So we have it. Astrology has it pretty easy right now. Okay, so the square, challenges that you have to overcome. That can lead to growth, so it's not easy, but maybe good for you in the long run. Then we have a quincunx. It is 150 degrees.
Okay.
And it just says unpredictable. I tried to figure out what that meant. It just says unpredictable, so I don't know. No one knows.
Yeah, I don't know what it means either.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So
I understand that part.
Yeah. So semi-square, 45 degrees. This is the tension that precipitates events. I can't say this. Sesquisquare, 135 degrees. Mildly adverse. So not a big deal. Not a big challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe you stepped in some gum on your way to your soul journey. I don't know. Yes, Curtis.
Oh, no, I'm just so confused again. I just, like, no longer even have the slightest semblance about what we're even talking about right
Curtis,
now.
Curtis, would you say that you've lost the plot?
Oh, yes. I thought when we got to the math part that I would like it more because I know how to add and I know how to multiply things. But I don't like it more. I did find the part where it's telling me about my contra parallels and parallels, and it just says more mean things about me, and I don't like it.
Okay, so to explain a little more about the aspects, an example is if the sun were in 10 degrees in Taurus, which is an earth sign, it's very much about possessions, feeling good, physical. So if the sun were at 10 degrees in Taurus and Jupiter were at 10 degrees in Scorpio, and again, those are opposing signs, you'd have opposition, the 180 degrees. So sun in opposition to Jupiter indicates carelessness and extravagance, which can lead to financial trouble and errors of judgment. So that is how those two separate signs, you know, sun in Taurus is going to say one thing, Jupiter in Scorpio is going to say one thing, but when you combine them together and consider the fact that they're in opposition, that can change their outcome.
Great.
And so that's basically astrology, a complex system of symbols and math. And
this has easily been our longest episode.
Yes. And I've only explained how it works. And again, just the very basics. There's so much you could go into in any part of it. So
This was the basics.
The basics.
The essential knowledge.
This was the bare bones, the cliff notes of astrology.
Yes.
The sixth grade of social studies.
Yeah, like I didn't read the Shakespeare play. Can I get a summary?
So I did go
in
online.
In a nutshell.
I did go online and I tried to find the way that birth charts were originally calculated. There is a lot of math and time conversion. It turned out to be close to, I want to say, 10 pages, so I'm not going to bother reading it. But it is some wild. It's wild. Yes, this is one of our longest episodes, and I have just tried to explain this centuries old system that we've had since the beginning that we knew stars were a thing, basically.
You may
and
have
I'm
broken
trying to explain
Curtis
it.
And
yeah. I'm very broken. I'd like to thank everyone for listening, and I hope that you have learned something, and maybe you knew some about astrology already, and maybe it made sense to you. I'm just flabbergasted. My gas has been flabbered.
Again, I was amazed at how complex this system is.
It's really like it's really just versus like reading your horoscope in the newspaper.
Right.
You know,
right.
This
it goes
is like
so much more into it.
Really, really severe. But it makes sense because, like, for thousands of years, this was like an academic study. So,
right, we were
of course,
working on it. We
of
were
course,
expanding
they
on
like
it, their
bothered
theories.
To make it as complicated as fucking possible because
yes.
That's what we do with everything.
Of course.
Do you feel like you've sufficiently explained it for this episode, and I can
I've sufficiently explained it for myself.
Great.
I knew 25% of this before I did research for this episode.
How much do
and
you know
now?
I
know this much.
Wow.
How much
everything
would you
I
say
just
this
told
is?
You.
How much is this? You know 100%
enough.
Of this, and this
enough.
Is enough. Great.
I have ascended. I understand now.
Well, check us out on Facebook and Twitter. At Mulder Was Right Cast. What were you going to say, Brandon?
I don't know. I was going to wax poetic about the place astrology fits into our lives.
So that's,
I don't
know. That's the next part.
Right. I
Not
know.
Now.
I just
wanted to tell you how it works. And I knew that this was going to take too long. I knew it was going to take too long if I did both. If we talked about what astrology
it would have taken too
means
long.
To us. And also what it is.
It would have taken too long.
So, listener, now I hope you at least kind of understand what it is. If I have rambled too much and I wasn't clear, Google is a friend. But please join us next time where we can talk about why this matters, why anyone cares, why we still talk about signs, why I have candles with my sun sign on it, all that good stuff.
Leave us a voicemail.
Yes. Oh, God. I don't even know that phone number.
if you give me enough time, I can find the phone number.
We'll have it on there somewhere if you want to leave us a voicemail. Thanks for listening, everyone. We really appreciate it. You give us life, and you are the stars of our hearts, and you are the forces which we look to at night. And you are the only astrology. What's the phone number, Brandon?
Leave us a voicemail at 505.
Is it a really funny phone number? Did you have to laugh at it?
It's just funny to me.
Careful with this one, guys. It's going to be hilarious.
505-652-7140.
All right, great. And that's about all for this week, folks.
Wake up, sheeple!
What in the hell happened?